Well, good morning. I would encourage you to turn to Psalm 78. That's on page 672 of the Chair Bible, if you'd like to follow along there, or use your own copy of God's Word. Psalm 78 is where we will spend all of our time this morning. We have a number of visitors in our assembly this morning. Welcome to everyone. We have some return visitors. Welcome back. We are delighted that you are here. By way of introduction to us and to our worship this morning, we are reading the Bible together this year at Annandale, and we are using the Daily Bible, which takes the 66 books of the Bible and arranges them in chronological order. And this morning we are reading Psalm 78 together because it was one of the Psalms in last week's readings. And so as we turn our attention this morning to Psalm 78, the first thing we want to acknowledge about Psalm 78 is that it is a song. And as we think about the true and living God in the context of Psalm 78, one of the things that we learn about God is that He has given us the gift of music, and He has blessed us with something to sing about. So this week we read Psalm 78. Psalm 78 would have been a psalm that not only the people of God of the time that it was written would have read, but they also would have sung it together. And so depending upon your translation, there's a heading at the top, and whether the word is maskil or contemplation, that Hebrew term seems to be communicating the type of psalm that this psalm is. It's a didactic psalm. It is designed and intended to teach. And so as we think about being the Annandale Church of Christ, as we think about being the people of God within the context of the New Covenant, as we think about New Covenant worship that Jesus has called us to worship the true and living God who is Spirit, to worship God in spirit and in truth. We have been called as New Covenant worshipers to teach and admonish one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in our hearts to the Lord. And we have attempted to do that this morning in our worship, and we will continue to do that throughout the remainder of our worship. And so Psalm 78 is credited to Asaph, who we learn is a Levite worship leader. And so Psalm 78 is unique because it is the second longest psalm of the 150, Psalm 119 being the longest. Psalm 78 is the second longest psalm of the 150 psalms, and it is one of the 12 psalms that is not accredited to David. It is accredited to Asaph. And so as we think about Psalm 78 this morning in the context of our worship, what we see in this psalm are warnings, and we read about wonders, and all of this is calling us to worship. That is the point of the psalms, to think about the words and to sing the words to the praise and to the honor and to the glory of the true and living God. And so as we think about the content of this psalm, it is a psalm that is designed to teach. And so the point of the psalm is to help us to remember past events that are intended to encourage us in the present to be faithful. And as we remember the past events that are intended to encourage us to be faithful in the present, what they will give us as the Lord blesses us with future days, as the Lord wills, is hope in whatever lies ahead of us. And so by way of encouragement to every member of the Annandale Church this morning, and by extension to everyone who is visiting with us this morning, whether you are a member who is a husband or a wife, whether you are a parent in the midst of raising your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord Jesus, whether you've been blessed with grandchildren, you have the opportunity now to be an influence for good in your grandchildren's lives, whether you're a widow or a widower, whether you're a single Christian, each and every member can serve each and every other member of our community by reading, by meditating, by singing, and by teaching as we collectively come together and worship God in spirit and truth as the Annandale Church. In Psalm 78, what we have is instruction that is for individual Israelites. But this instruction for individual Israelites, it also includes their relationships with one another within the context of their nation, of their community, of their fellowship, the nation of Israel. And so as we think about who we are this morning as individual disciples of Jesus Christ, we have an individual relationship with the true and living God, but we also have one another relationships with those who are members of the spiritual Israel. And so just a simple thing that you and I can do when we come together that is an encouragement to everyone is to take your own copy of Psalm 78 or to take a copy of the Chair Bible and to turn to the scriptures that whoever is teaching the class is teaching. To turn to the scriptures that whoever is reading God's Word during the public reading of God's Word within the context of our worship. For other people, and specifically our kids, to see different members looking into God's Word for themselves and reading it for themselves and really thinking about what it says, that makes an impression on little hearts. For all of us to be engaged in singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, to see other brothers, to hear other sisters singing and making melody in their heart unto the Lord, that is an encouragement to each and every one to hear the voice of another mother, to hear the voice of another father singing and teaching and admonishing through the psalms and the hymns and the spiritual songs that we sing together. That is an encouragement to everyone. And so as we think about Psalm 78 in particular, what the psalm is calling us to know is God Himself. And so as we think about where we stand in God's eternal purpose, thanks to Jesus, Jesus has fleshed out the fullness of God. And so thanks to Jesus, we can understand that we have a Father in heaven. We can understand that Jesus is His only begotten Son. We can understand the deity of the Holy Spirit. We can understand the fullness of Yahweh God. And so the psalm is calling us to know God. It is calling us to covenant faithfulness. And so Psalm 78 is written to people who are in a covenant relationship with God. These are the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that God made a covenant with at Mount Sinai. These are the people that God made a covenant relationship through Moses and blessed them with the law of Moses and blessed them with the tabernacle and the temple and blessed them with worship. And what He is calling them and by extension us to within the context of our new covenant, what He is calling us to is covenant faithfulness. And so as we think about faith and what faith is, and we encourage one another to consider that faith consists of conviction of the mind, it consists of trust from the depth of our heart, and it consists of surrender of the will that is manifested, made known, shown, demonstrated in obedience. In Psalm 78, we see all three components of faith. We see the call to believe. We see the call to trust. And it's contrasted with this idea of tempting God, that we don't really trust in God. And so what we're going to do is we're going to tempt God to prove to us that He is trustworthy. And the psalm also communicates that whatever covenant we live in, whether it's the law of Moses or the law of Christ, that what God is calling us to is surrender of our will to His, to know His will and to do it. And so by extension to our new covenant relationship, what is Psalm 78 calling us to? It is calling us to follow Jesus and to be led by the Holy Spirit to the glory of our Father in heaven. And so these are the points that I would encourage you to think about as we read Psalm 78 together. In the conclusion of Psalm 78, we will sing a song that encourages us in all of this. Psalm 78, beginning in verse 1, I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, telling to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He has done. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, the children who would be born, that they may arise and declare them to their children, that they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments, and may not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not set verse 8. And verse 8 is so important to our understanding of God and covenant and relationship and what our relationship with God in Jesus and the Holy Spirit is all about. It is about my heart, and it is about your heart, and it is about setting your heart on knowing God, on being convicted concerning who He is, of trusting Him from the depth of your being, of surrendering your will from the heart, doing His will from the heart. And so what we have in the Old Testament, according to Romans 15:4, are things that are written for our admonition and learning. There are examples of people that are held up to us, and the example is, don't be like these people. Don't be like this person. Don't be like this collective group of people. Rather, do better because you believe better and you trust harder. And then there are other examples that are held up, and God says, look at this person. This person believed in me. This person trusted me. This person obeyed me. And so what is the point of Psalm 78? It is to teach. It is to encourage. And what each and every one of us has got to determine is that we are going to purpose in our heart, that we are going to fix our heart, that we are going to set our heart on the true and living God. That we're not going to be like these fathers of old who were stubborn and rebellious. A generation that did not set its heart aright and whose spirit was not faithful to God. We can go through the motions and people can look at us and they can see something that is not true because it is not in our heart. It's not who we really are. It's not what we are really about. It's not a spiritual relationship in which we are seeking to draw near with our spirit to the true God who is spirit. And so here the examples begin. Example number 1, verse 9. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. they did not, verse 10, keep the covenant of God. They broke covenant. They didn't keep covenant. They refused to walk in the law, to live in the law, to be led by the law. And as a result, they forgot His works and His wonders that He had shown them. Marvelous things He did in the sight of their fathers. In the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan, He divided the sea and caused them to pass through. And He made the water stand up like a heap. In the daytime also He led them with the cloud, and all the night with a light of fire. He split the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink in abundance like the depths. He also brought streams out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. Verse 17, but, and what comes after this but is not good. Verses 12 through 16, that's just amazing stuff that we can read about in the book of Exodus. But this generation, the one that didn't set its heart aright, whose spirit wasn't faithful to God, who didn't keep covenant, who refused to walk, who forgot these things, they sinned even more against Him. Well, that's the wrong approach. That's the wrong response. They rebelled against the Most High in the wilderness, and they tested God where? Verse 18. In their heart. And what was the manifestation of that? Well, they asked for the food of their fancy. Yes, they spoke against God. They said, can God prepare a table in the wilderness? Behold, He struck the rock so that the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. Can He give bread also? Can He provide meat for His people? Therefore, the Lord didn't like that none. He did not like being tested by these people from the depth of their heart. And when He heard this, He was furious. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came up against Israel. Because they did not, verse 22, believe. They did not believe in God and did not trust in His salvation. What does God want from us? He wants all of us. He wants all of your heart. He wants your conviction. He wants your trust. And He wants that, all of that to prompt you, to lead you, to drive you, to surrender to Him. They did not believe in God and did not trust in His salvation, yet He had commanded the clouds above and opened the doors of heaven. He rained down manna on them to eat and given them of the bread of heaven. Men ate angels' food. He sent them food to the full. He caused an east wind to blow in the heavens, and by His power He brought in the south wind. He also rained meat on them like the dust, feathered fowl like the sound of the seas. And He let them fall in the midst of their camp all around their dwellings. So they ate and were well filled, for He gave them their own desire. They were not deprived of their craving, but while their food was still in their mouths, the wrath of God came upon them and slew the stoutest of them and struck down the choice men of Israel. What is the lesson here? The lesson is we need to get our heart right, and we need to trust in God, and we don't need to test Him. He does not like that. And we need to be concerned about the things that He likes and that He doesn't like, because there are consequences to that. We have a relationship with Him. It matters what He thinks. And it matters how we respond to what He thinks. And sometimes the consequences are very serious. Verse 32, in spite of this, they still sinned and did not believe in His wondrous works. Therefore, their days He consumed in futility and their years in fear. When He slew them and they sought Him and they returned and sought earnestly for God, then they remembered that God was their rock and the Most High God, their Redeemer. Nevertheless, they flattered Him with their mouth and they lied to Him with their tongue, for their heart was not steadfast with him, nor were they faithful in his covenant. Don't be like them. Remember, this is a psalm that the people of this time would have sung. They would have taught and admonished one another with these words. And when we come to the conclusion of verse 37, that's dark. But then things brighten up in verse 38. But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and did not destroy them. Yes, many a time he turned his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath, for he remembered that they were but flesh, a breath that passes away and does not come again. God is good. And that truth about Him, it ought to increase our conviction. It ought to increase our trust. It ought to increase our surrender. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He is compassionate and merciful, and He's willing to forgive. And so when we come before Him broken and contrite, we can have full assurance of faith that we're going to find love and forgiveness. But if we come before Him pretending to be something that we're not, if we come before Him and we're saying the right things, but in our heart we don't mean it, then it doesn't count because He knows. And that's one of the things that makes God God. He knows when you're lying to Him. He knows when I am lying to Him. And so don't lie to Him. Be honest with Him. Verse 40, how often they provoked Him in the wilderness and grieved Him in the desert. Yes, again and again they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. They did not remember His power the day when He redeemed them from the enemy, when He worked His signs in Egypt and His wonders in the field of Zoan, turned their rivers into blood and their streams that they could not drink, and sent swarms of flies among them which devoured them, and frogs which destroyed them, and also gave their crops to the caterpillar and their labor to the locust. He destroyed their vines with hail and their sycamore trees with frost. He also gave up their cattle to the hail and their flocks to fiery lightning. Calling back to the plagues of Egypt, the early part of the book of Exodus. Verse 49, He cast on them the fierceness of His anger, wrath, indignation, and trouble by sending angels of destruction among them. He made a path for His anger. He did not spare their soul from death, but gave their life over to the plague and destroyed all the firstborn in Egypt, the first of their strength in the tents of Ham. But He made His own people go forth like sheep and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. And He led them on safely so that they did not fear, but the sea overwhelmed their enemies. Parting of the Red Sea, crossing over on dry land. And He brought them to His holy border, this mountain which His right hand had acquired. He also drove out the nations before them, book of Joshua, allotted them an inheritance by survey, and made the tribes of Israel dwell in their tents. The fulfillment of the land promise in Joshua 21:43-45. And yet, verse 56, they tested and provoked the Most High God, and did not keep His testimonies, but turned back and acted unfaithfully like their fathers. They were turned aside like a deceitful bow. For they provoked him to anger with their high places and moved him to jealousy with their carved images. When God heard this, he was furious and greatly abhorred Israel, so that he forsook the tabernacle of Shiloh, the tent he had placed among men, and delivered his strength into captivity and his glory into the enemy's hand. Verse 56, beginning with the days of the judges, continuing into the days of the judges, into the 1 Samuel chapter 4, in which the Philistines captured the Ark of the Covenant. Ichabod, the glory has departed. He also gave his people over to the sword and was furious with his inheritance. The fire consumed their young men and their maidens were not given in marriage. Their priests fell by the sword and their widows made no lamentation. Then the Lord awoke as from sleep, like a mighty man who shouts because of wine. And he beat back his enemies and put them to a perpetual reproach. Moreover, he rejected the tent of Joseph and did not choose the tribe of Ephraim. But, verse 68, harking us back to Genesis 49, verse 10, the blessing of Jacob, the blessing of Israel to his son Judah, that from Judah would arise the lion of the tribe of Judah. He chose the tribe of Judah, Mount Zion, the city of David, the city of Jerusalem, the city of God. He chose the tribe of Judah, Mount Zion, which he loved. And he built his sanctuary like the heights, like the earth which he has established forever. He also chose David, his servant, a descendant of Judah, and took him from the sheepfolds, from following the ewes that had young, he brought them to shepherd Jacob his people and Israel his inheritance. So he shepherded them according to the integrity of, watch this, verse 72, his heart, and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. Psalm 78, a psalm of Asaph, who is a contemporary of David, a contemporary of Solomon. He is a Levite worship leader that we read about in 1 Chronicles and in 2 Chronicles. And in our current readings, as we're reading about the return from the Babylonian captivity, we have all these references to the sons of Asaph. This psalm was written during this time to encourage the people of God of this day to remember past events. We read the Old Testament scriptures, Romans 15, verse 4, for our admonition and for our learning. The Old Testament scriptures, for the most part, consist of types and of shadows that are pointing us to the substance, that are pointing us to the thing, that are pointing us to the conclusion of God's eternal purpose, which according to Ephesians 3 verse 11 is Jesus Himself. Colossians 2:10, we are complete in Him, not to the exclusion of God the Father or God the Holy Spirit or to any other of the spiritual blessings that God Himself makes to flow into our hearts as a result of being members of the new covenant. But we are complete in Jesus because it is in Jesus that we find the key to unlocking the truth about everything else. And this psalm ends with the tribe of Judah, Mount Zion, David his servant, who served as the king of Israel, who had been chosen because he had spent all of these years being prepared by God, shepherding sheep so that he might be a shepherd king and so that he might faithfully take care of his flock from the depth of his heart. And so the people of God, including David himself, as he was blessed with those precious promises in 2 Samuel 7 and 1 Chronicles concerning his own kingdom and his throne being established forever, David himself, Asaph, Haggai, Zechariah, the prophets that we read together this week, they were all looking forward to the type and the shadow that David himself serves as. And the fulfillment of that type and shadow is Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus is the God who was promised, who would come, Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus is the Maker, the King that was foretold who was coming. Jesus is the one who was foretold by Zechariah that He would serve both as King and priest simultaneously, that He wouldn't be of the tribe of Levi, but that He would be of the tribe of Judah, which the law spake nothing concerning, Hebrews 7:14. So therefore they had to be a change in covenants. Psalm 78 was written to people who were in covenant relationship at a time. But even they understood that God was going to do something in the future that He had not yet done. And so listen to me very carefully, because this is the conclusion of the whole matter, and then we're going to stand and sing. Here is where we are in God's eternal purpose. God has done some things in the past. And He is working in our lives, present tense. And Jesus is coming again. And so if we are to be faithful in our generation, then we must grow in our individual conviction. We must grow in our individual trust. We must grow in our individual surrender. We must encourage one another collectively to grow in faith, not to forget and not to test and not to be unfaithful, but to remember and to trust and to obey. Jesus is coming. And until He comes, we need to remember the past events to encourage faithfulness in the present so that we don't lose hope in Him, because He, Colossians 1:27, is the hope of glory. He gave me a song, number 664 in the Blue Book. Psalm 78 consists of wonders that are to lead us to worship. And if we avoid the warning signs, we have nothing to worry about, because He who has promised is faithful. And so we can go through our lives, living our lives in the midst of all of the darkness that is around us. We can go through our lives living in the midst of the darkness that is all around us, because the light of the world is dwelling in us. He has given us a song. And so let's teach and admonish one another with this song. And let's encourage one another to live our lives in Christ like the song is calling us to, so that we might be the light of the world that Jesus has called us to be. In Matthew 5:13-16. Let's stand together and sing, "He gave me a song."